prayer for Victor Stamatic, taken to the hospital emergency this morning. We want to pray for him, ask God to touch him. Serious. I don't know him, but God does. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word this morning. We ask your blessing upon Victor. God, that you'd reach down in the hospital and touch him. God, we've all been in that place where we couldn't pray for ourselves, but thank God for a church. God, there are needs in this place this morning, and God, by your power and by your word, Lord, address those needs and take care of them during the preaching of your word. We believe it. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to turn your attention to 2 Peter. We'll dismiss our children to Sunday school at this time. 2 Peter 2:9 when through the gifts of the Spirit, God said, I'm coming quickly? Anybody? I've been hearing it for years, almost 40 years, and yet Jesus has not come. What was said this morning by Brother Portman in the opening was so earth-shaking, because there will come a day when there's going to sound a trumpet, and ready or not, here I come. So let me entitle this message, Ready or Not, Here I Come. Sometimes we can get lulled into a false sense of security that everything is going to remain just the way it's always been. You know, we're seeing some things in the world that contradict that. It's not the same. Amen. Climate's not the same. The world situations are not the same. Financial situations are not the same. And God's saying, you know, you might want to look up. So you're making some decisions right now. You can make your decision now. But like was said, is there'll come a time that you won't be able to make a decision any longer. 2 Peter 3:1 says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. Is that true? And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Noah spent 120 years saying, it's going to happen, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And then one day, God closed the door. And there weren't any decisions anymore. He closed the door. Do you know why God closed the door? It's because Noah probably would have had some mercy and opened the door and said, okay, at least three or four more in. God's saying, once it happens, it's done, the door's closed. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, I kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Someday there's going to be fire. There's going to be judgment. Folks, I don't want to be here for that. I want to be taken up out of here. Brother Hefner, if you keep the screen down this morning, I'd appreciate it. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to also turn your attention to Matthew, the 24th chapter. Anybody want to help me this morning? Amen. Matthew 24 and verse number 44, these are the words of Jesus. He said, therefore, Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. There are so many people who just don't believe that he's coming, and perhaps even those in the church thinking, well, he won't come in my lifetime. Walk down the street and ask somebody about, do you believe that Jesus is coming again? And most of them don't even know he's coming again. They knew about Bethlehem, but they don't know that Jesus is coming again. But for every scripture that talks about his first coming, there are 8 scriptures that talk about his second coming. Verse 45, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? That's us, folks. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make them ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in the day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 1 of 25, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels and their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but ye go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Jesus is coming soon. Amen. This parable isn't addressing the sinner. This parable is addressing the saint. It's talking about people who are in the church. It's talking about people who are filled with the Holy Ghost. Talking about people who have revelation. Those who have been filled. They had all access to the bridegroom. Half of the church, Jesus said, half of the church, 50% of the church was foolish. 50% of the church did not have enough oil in order to meet the bridegroom. Foolish, because they could have as much oil as they want. There's oil flowing in this place this morning. There's Spirit of God to run over, but they allowed their oil to diminish. The Holy Ghost wasn't their focus of attention anymore. They were preoccupied with other interests other than looking for the Lord. They said, for our lamps are gone out. What causes a saint's lamp to go out? Or why is there a lack of oil when God is pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh? I sat in a hospital room yesterday afternoon, and it wasn't a very nice place to be, but right in the middle of conversation, there was a power of God that filled that place. And so I don't care. You can be in the worst place, and if you need oil, all you have to do is ask. They are no longer, as Matthew 6 and 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added on. You see, the priorities are wrong, and therefore the oil diminishes. Priorities have changed in their lives, and God is no longer at the top of their list, and they have changed doctrines? No. They've kept the same doctrine, just changed priorities, becoming complacent about the things of God. And as a result, ready or not, here I come. Second, they don't realize their lamp went out. They don't realize they're not burning anymore. Have you ever needed a flashlight and you went through the junk drawer, all the lights went out and you're desperate to get some kind of light, go through the junk drawer and you feel around and finally you find a flashlight that you haven't used in months and then you turn it on and there's nothing. The batteries have gone out. It's happened to all of us. Why? You know, you might have three or four flashlights in your house and none of them are working. But if you would know where that flashlight was and you tried it from time to time, you wouldn't be in the dark. If you understand that you have to use the oil that God has given us, that you won't be surprised that he comes and your lamp is still burning. Hallelujah. Use it or lose it. Turn to Luke, the 12th chapter, please. Luke chapter 12, verse 34. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourself, like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Folks, we're at a place in even the church when we're thinking nothing is going to change. We're just going to have good church and we're having a good life. God has blessed us. There isn't anybody who is really in great need here, like in a third world country. God has blessed us, but in that blessing, just like Israel, God blessed them, and then all of a sudden, God wasn't a priority anymore until there was trouble in their life. And then they had to find themselves a man of God who would bring them back to where they used to be. Paul said in Philippians 2 and 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. If your oil is diminished, if your light has gone out, we're not going to be a witness to those that are around us. There is an undeniable correlation between witnessing and the supply of the Holy Ghost. We will not witness if we don't have a full lamp. We will not show our light if we don't have a full application of God's Spirit. Jesus said in Acts 1 and 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. You see the connection? The power and the witness, the oil and the witness. There has to be that oil, there has to be that anointing of God's Spirit, there has to be someone getting into the presence of God like we got into the presence of God this morning, feeling the Shekinah glory of God, and then understanding that power isn't just to make me feel good, but there's a power that says, I've got to let my light shine. I can't put it in a drawer someplace. I can't be like the flashlight in a junk drawer full of all kinds of stuff And then God saying, it's getting dark and we're looking for the light. Hallelujah. So here is the cycle of life in the church. We come to church and we worship God, which produces the Holy Ghost upon us. The Holy Ghost then compels us to let our light shine or talk to people about God. So somehow we got to get more oil. It's not enough that you spoke in tongues 24 years ago when you got the Holy Ghost. Because your oil, you're not ready. You're not ready. You can't just bump shoulders with somebody in the church that's doing well, because you got to go buy your own oil. And don't do it too late. Do it now. I said earlier that people don't stop coming to the church because somebody offended them or there's too many hypocrites here. There's not enough hypocrites in the church today. We need more hypocrites. We need more smokers. We need more drinkers. We need people who are desperate for God to come in here so God can do a recreation in their life. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're not offended by somebody in the church, you're probably dead twice and plucked up by the roots. You're comatose, because you know what? Somebody in here is going to offend you one way or the other. You know, the mistake some people think is, well, they hurt my feelings and so I'm going someplace else. Well, somebody is going to hurt your feelings no matter where you go. Show up on the job and somebody's rude. Do you march right up to your employer and says, I quit? No, you probably don't, because you value the job more than sometimes you value the church. My God, I'm not going to be moved. I'm planted. You know what? It's not because of lack of fellowship. If a visitor comes here and then we open the altar and people, you know, tarry and wait around the altar, and then, you know, then they sit in the pew and talk, and then they go out in the foyer and talk some more. You know, we got plenty of fellowship. If you want a friend, this is a good church to be a part of, you know. And it's not because of lack of fellowship. It's not because doctrine isn't preached from this pulpit over and over again. No, it's because people stopped worshiping. Something annoyed them. You know, if I get into an argument with my family, I don't go kick the dog. And you know what you're saying is, because I got in an argument with somebody here, or they didn't see it the way I saw it, I'll fix you, God. Really? Is that ignorant or what? Your relationship with God is primary. The relationship with people is more than secondary. We don't come because of people. We come because of God. You can get to the place where the oil has diminished to the point where you don't even want to come to church to meet the bridegroom. And if they are not refilled, they won't meet the bridegroom in the air. Church, this is no time to play church. This is time to be church. This is a time to expect God to do miraculous things, because the curtain is coming down on the last chapter of the church. Glory to God. It is being written right now in the 29th chapter of the book of Acts. This church will be found in that book of the Acts of the Apostles. This is the time. God could have chosen you to live any time in the last 2,000 years, but he said, no, I want you to live in these very last closing days, because I've got greater things for you, and you're going to see greater miracles. I said at prayer yesterday morning, when God comes back, will he find you praying or will he find you playing? I have to say this, and I said it last week Sunday, but I've never felt so compelled to get a church ready for the coming of God as I am right now. I feel like there's an urgency. There has to be a clear sound that has to be made. What is happening in Israel right now is unprecedented. Folks, it hasn't happened since 1948, 1967. Things are going, and the entire world's focus is on Israel right now, and there's nobody who's going to change it. God has already set the stage. There are kings from the north, Russia, who are now invading more and more land, just like the book of Revelation says. Yesterday, I saw a picture of a river of blood in China, and they're still trying to figure out what caused it to become blood red. You know, it doesn't really matter what caused it, but God is saying, will you look up? Could you see what is happening, church? Don't fall asleep. Understand that your Redeemer is closer. We can't be lulled to sleep because it hasn't affected us in a personal way. And as long as your little cubicle is fine, as long as your third of the acre and your house and your car and your job is fine, we can get to the place where that's got nothing to do with me. No, it does. It really does. Jesus said in Luke 12 and 39, "And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through." We have to watch and pray. We have to make sure that every day, amen, the searchlight of heaven is upon us, and that we really need to examine ourselves. Am I ready? My wife's grandmother and father at our wedding, I can still remember, you know, people were giving words of advice. And I remember her grandfather saying, "Don't ever go to bed angry with each other. Always make up before you go to bed." And you know, that's good advice for you and your relationship with the bridegroom. Don't ever get to the place where you haven't talked to him and have a good understanding of where you are with him, because you may not wake up in the morning, folks. Whether it's the rapture or whether it's a heart attack, you may not have another chance. Glory to God. Revelation, the third chapter. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 3 says, "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." And then verse number 14, it says, "And unto the angel," or the pastor, "of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knoweth not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried of fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." He's talking to the church here, folks. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith onto the church. Lukewarm, cold, hot. God's saying there's too many people who are out there that are cold that I can reach, or those who are excited about God, have zeal for God, but those who are in between, it's just another Sunday service. Romans 13 and 11 says, and that knowing the time that now is, it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. There are churches all around us preaching lullaby messages to congregations, giving them a false sense of security that everything and everyone is just all right. I see them in the streets all the time. They have a label of Pentecost, but they're not Pentecostal. It's a rockabye baby in the treetop. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. And when the bough breaks, the cradle will fall, and down will come baby, cradle and all. Soothing words to the baby who doesn't understand the words. What? I'm going to fall? Somebody ought to bring another song to their attention that, yes, if you're not living for God, well, you're not going to be a part of the rapture. You're not going to be a part of God's great gathering in. Hallelujah. A better song would be, get right or get left. Ain't no time for indecision. Got to make up your mind, for if you don't get right, you will be left behind. Not a lot of people want to hear that. They'd rather have lullaby baby. Let's entertain them, folks. But let's not require any change in their life, because what if they don't like it? Then they might not come back. Is the object full pews, or is the object people ready to go into rapture? Right. Just half. 50% of the virgins were ready. Just half. And some think, once saved, always saved. Well, then why do we have to endure to the end? Why does the Bible say that our names can be taken out of the book of life? Why does it say we could be blotted out? Why was Paul so insistent that he beats himself into subjection, lest after he's preached for many, he himself could be a castaway? You know what? We get to the place where there's damnable doctrines that say just accept the Lord and just do whatever you want. Live any way you want. You don't have to make any kind of rules, you know, because rules are for, you know, religion. Folks, this 50% thing should put a fear in us that I'm going to live for God, especially when we're seeing what we're seeing in the world today. I'm going to step it up a notch. I'm going to put aside some things that occupied my time, and I'm going to make more time for God. I'm going to come to church whenever the church doors are open. You know what? That was instilled in me when I first came into the church, and frankly, it still is a part of my priorities. Would it be a horrible thing that tonight, right in the middle of song service, God came and for some reason you were gone? Have you filled your lamp this morning? If not, don't leave here without your lamp full. There's no reason. He paid the price. Glory to God. Don't buy in today's belief of, I'm associated with the church, but I don't agree with all of the doctrine. Damnable doctrine. Well, Pastor, there's a lot of things that you say that's really good. But you know what? I really, there's some things that, boy, just so hard to swallow. I don't think that God would. You know what? Don't think. Don't think. He didn't ask us to evaluate. He didn't ask us to think. He said, just obey. Yeah. Matthew 7 and 21, Jesus said, in that day many will say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done many marvelous works in your name? And I will say, depart from me, I never knew you. He's talking about people who are in the church. Yeah, they did church stuff. You get a false sense of security about doing stuff around the church without having a relationship with God. But he that doeth the will of my Father, the same. Amen. Hallelujah. We can't be raptured with a portion of God's truth. Amen. And I don't believe that we can be a half-dressed bride, half-naked, but fully dressed based on not what some pastor says, but what the book says. You know, if I start undressing this congregation, you know what I'm talking about? If I get to the place where there's some things that just aren't important any longer, then I don't deserve to be behind this pulpit. You should run me out of here on a rail, because it's not my option to dress the church. It's my responsibility to tell you what Jesus wants for a church that is going to be ready to be raptured. Amen. I want everybody to turn to Isaiah 4 and verse number 1. Isaiah chapter 4 and verse number 1, it says, and in that day seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach or our disgrace. What will people say in the end times? Well, I want to be associated with the name of the church. Well, what are you again? Well, I'm a Pentecostal. Okay, I got the name. I'm a United Pentecostal or someone who is apostolic, believing what the apostles believe. We want the association with the church. We want the name of Jesus. We want to be called Christians, but we will eat our own bread. Or don't preach to me, Pastor. I got my own doctrine. I've got my own word. We have our doctrine of I'll take this and I'll take that, but I'll reject that. And we don't want to look like the real church. We will wear our own apparel, but I want to hold on to you, that one God doctrine. It's not enough just to believe in the one God message. We have to look like the one God message and espouse his food and his apparel. How many people profess they are ready to meet the Lord, but there's no change in their outward appearance? Oh, we have been liberated. We have new revelation. No, there is no new revelation. There's just old-fashioned landmarks and obedience to what God says. And my God is not going to change his mind. Is it because some continue to preach, come as you are and be as you are, and God requires no change? Rock-a-bye, baby, in the treetop. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. Down will come, baby. Church and all. If we don't preach the doctrine of God, eat his food and wear his apparel, you see. Better be careful. You better not speak for God if you're not getting it out of the book. Amen. Hallelujah. Even the priests couldn't just enter into the temple any way they wanted, or they would be struck dead. God was so specific back then, but now he just deals in generalities because we're a new generation. No, we're not. We're a generation that's called, we are a people, we're a holy nation. We are someone who God has chosen, a peculiar people who should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light, so we can let our light shine onto the rest of the world and not look just like everybody else. Oh, I want to be a Christian, but I don't like the food. Yeah, that guy. Every time he preaches, I'm choking on something. And the dress, well, it just doesn't make me a whole lot of friends in the world. Hey, that's the way it's supposed to be, folks. We're not supposed to be friends with the world, because if we're friends with the world, we're enemies of God. That's what the Word of God says. Hallelujah. Do we understand how important it is to conform to what God is saying we need to conform to? Is there anybody who you try to please in this world that's going to give you one more day of life or heal you or help your finances or come to your rescue? None. Our reproach will not be taken away simply because we take hold of this one God doctrine and continue to consume our own doctrine and wear our own apparel. Our outward must be a reflection of the inward. And what is in you? If God's on the inside, it should show up on the outside somehow, some way. Hallelujah. We've got a modest God. Those who think that this isn't important, I'll tell you what, they just don't know the scriptures. Isaiah said that they would want to be called by the name, but they would want to wear their own apparel. Today's Christianity wants to be called Christians and believers of Jesus, but they don't want to be told that there's any kind of restrictions in their life. Would you turn to Romans, the 8th chapter? Romans 8 and... Let's go to verse 25. It says, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities or weakness, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts, you know God searching our hearts, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints, how? According to the will of God. And here comes that scripture that everybody misquotes. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to our purpose. No, his purpose. It's all working for his purpose, not ours. What's convenient, what's acceptable to everybody around us, but what's acceptable to God? What is acceptable to God? I think it was in 1996, went to a general conference, and there were preliminaries. There's thousands and thousands of people in this auditorium, and we're waiting for the service to start, and so... I got antsy. Instead of sitting, I walked out and went over to the bookstore and looking for, you know, something to read and to use for reference material. And I found a book on hairdos. What do you think? And I've kept the same hairdo for I don't know how long. No, I saw this book on hairdos and I bought it. And I found a hairdo in there that I really, really like. I'm talking about for my wife now. And I said, honey, this is really nice. And so she tried it, and I said, wow, that is just really nice. Now, she's wearing that same hairdo today, not necessarily because she thinks it's the best looking hairdo. But I do. And it's more important what I think than what even she thinks. And there are certain things that God says, I really, really like that. And maybe we might even think, well, you know, I don't know. But you know what? I love God so much. That's what I want. I want to please him so much. And beyond that, there's all kinds of advantages. There's power. There's protection. And most of you ladies know all about that. Verse number 29 says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate." The word predestinate means to limit or restrict, to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestine or restrict, them he also called. He called those who would restrict their life, and whom he called, them he also justified. We can't justify ourselves. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. When are we going to be glorified? At the sound of the trump. I'm telling you, there's some things that are important if you want to be a part of the second coming of the Lord. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. Well, I don't like the way you look. Too bad. Jesus does. Church, God isn't waiting for the last Christian to get their act together. He's not. Oh, if just those last three people in this congregation would get their act together, then I'm going to sound the trumpet. No, the day has already been set. God is right on schedule. But he is giving us a heads up. Jesus said in Luke 21 and 28, "And when these things begin to come to pass, when you see men's hearts failing, when you see wars and rumors of wars, when you see famine in the land, when you see people being arrested for watering their lawns, when you see all of these happen," you know, he says, "when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Ready or not, here I come. It's not a matter of, well, okay, I'm waiting. You know? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, "For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." In 1/40th of a second, it's going to happen. It's going to be over. I want to be ready for that day. More importantly, I want this church to be ready for that day. It will come as a thief in the night when people think not. But it's our hope and it's our calling. Don't miss the last flight out, because there's not another one coming. Have you filled your lamps? Are you ready? Ready or not, here I come. Church, if there's anything that we have to be ready for, the house may not be finished, your education may not be finished, you may not be in that perfect place where everything is perfect in your life, but there has to be one thing. There has to be a readiness for the Lord when he comes. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? How many people stood in the crowds when Jesus preached the word, and then when it was over, they just turned around and walked out? Walked out. I said to a pastor Friday, I said, you know, there's some things that just are almost unbearable. It's when you've sacrificed for someone, loved someone, been there for someone, and then one day they walk away. And I was thinking, Lazarus, where were you? Where were you? Your God stood in front of your grave at 4 days and wept. And then he said, Lazarus,
come forth. He had the church unwrap the grave clothes so he could walk. And then in just a little while, he sat down at a table with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And I believe they ate and they laughed and they hugged each other. But it wasn't long after, he walked up a hill by himself. Lazarus, where were you? He was called the friend of God. But where were you? In church, we can come and we can rejoice and we can hear the word of God in every service. But I'll tell you, there has to come a time when we go up with Jesus. There has to be a time where we've totally committed to God, regardless of what's going on in our lives. Or were you too busy, Lazarus, on that day? No. You see, there was a time when my God stood in front of me and said, come forth. You're dead, but now you're alive. And I want to take you to my house, and I'm going to feed you the best of the best. I'm going to fill you with my spirit. But I want you to go all the way. You have to have your own Calvary. But then as 500 people saw me disappear in the clouds, there will be time when you'll disappear in the clouds as well. I'll descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and the trump of God, and you're going to meet me in the air, and so shall you ever be with me. I can miss out on a lot of things, folks, and there are times where maybe you think that you're missing out on something because of predestination, restrictions. But I'll tell you what, you're not missing out on one thing. You're not missing out on the glory of God, the peace of God, the joy of God, and you're certainly not going to miss out when the trumpet sounds. And you're going to lose control. It won't be falling down. It will be falling up. And this world will no longer have hold on you, but we're on our way to a better place.